Hey, everybody. If you've been looking for love at first sight, it's closer than you think. It can be found at your local shelter. So this June 7th to June 9th, join the Pedigree Adoption Drive, and the Pedigree brand will reimburse your dog adoption fees nationwide. Pedigree knows that bringing a dog into your home not only opens their heart, it can open yours too. Visit pedigree.com/adoption-drive to learn more and see full terms and conditions.
Hey, and welcome to the Short Stuff. I'm Josh, and there's Chuck, and this is Short Stuff, the shortest stuff of all the stuffs. Stuffer?
Who are you calling stuffer?
I'm calling you a stuffer, buddy.
Oh, yeah?
You're born and bred stuffer.
Stuff it.
Stuff it like Pizza Hut's stuffed crust cheese.
Oh,
stuffed
man.
Cheese stuffed crust.
I haven't had Pizza Hut in so long.
Yeah, I haven't in a little while either.
I had to order a garbage pizza the other night, though, for the first time in probably 20-something years.
Whoa, are you calling Pizza Hut a garbage pizza?
It wasn't Pizza Hut. It was another big brand of delivery pizza, but I, you know, we usually get the good pizza in the neighborhood, like the neighborhood pizzerias.
Sure.
That's also, you know, some of it's wood-fired. It's nice. I don't know if I call it fancy pizza, but good stuff.
But every once in a while you want, you know...
Well, I got shut out. It was during the World Series and Halloween, so that's like a huge pizza night.
Uh-huh.
And they ran out of stuff to make pizza, literally.
Wow.
And so I was forced to turn to the garbage pizza.
Uh-huh.
And you know what? It was delicious.
Yes, of course it is. It's terrible. It's terrible for you. There's nothing good about
it,
but it is delicious.
It was really great. It'd been so long. I was like, man, I forgot about the garbage pizzas.
So, and you're still not going to say which one, even though you're ultimately saying it was delicious, huh? That's fine. I think that's remarkable.
Okay.
Chuck, when you picked up the phone, because I'm assuming you did this old school style and used a landline.
I did it.
Picked up the phone.
Online, but sure.
And called the garbage pizza company, that when they answered the phone, you said, "Mayday, mayday, mayday, I need a pizza stat."
No, I said, "Pan, pan, pan, pan."
Oh, there you go. Very nice.
And they said, "You want a pan pizza?"
And you'd say, "No, and please don't interrupt me because I'm supposed to say it three times."
That's right.
Pan, pan.
Oh, very funny. This is about Mayday, the word. We want to thank livemint.com, mm-hmm. wonderopolis.org, Science ABC. Today I found out, and the Government of Canada website was pretty handy.
Sure. So we're talking about Mayday, and everybody knows that Mayday is a distress call. And everybody probably has a better handle on what to do in a Mayday distress call than you'd think, because from doing this research, it seems that just about every Mayday distress call I've seen in a movie or on TV was pretty accurate, it turns out.
Yeah. What you do is you say it three times, like you said.
Mm-hmm.
You have to do it three times because there are a couple of reasons. They don't want to be confused. First of all, they don't want to mistake it for another word if you just say it once. So just
right.
Literally reiterating Mayday, they won't say, did they say payday?
Those are not that great.
No, they're not. So that's one reason you repeat it three times. Another reason, or it could be noisy and you know, in a plane or on a boat or something. And the other reason is that they know that you are calling for the Mayday yourself, like you yourself mm-hmm. are in trouble, and you are not relaying a call about a Mayday from someone else, which is
right.
Something we'll get to called a Mayday relay.
Or you're not talking about, I think like you were saying that, you know, you're not talking about some Mayday call that happened 3 years ago that was just so great.
Oh, yeah, like blowing
your
own horn.
Best Mayday call you've ever heard.
Yeah.
Right, yeah. So so you do want to say it three times, Mayday, Mayday, Mayday. And then right after that, you've got their attention and you're on stage and they want to hear what you have to say. So you're going to follow that up with what aircraft or ocean-going craft you are. If you have some sort of call number or sign or whatever, you'd want to include that there. Then you're going to tell them exactly what the problem is. You're taking on water, which is a problem whether you're an aircraft or an ocean-going craft.
You don't want to take on water in an airplane.
No. You want to tell them where you're located or the last place your known location was mm-hmm. and maybe what direction you've been traveling in. You want to talk about the weather, but not chewing the fat talking about the weather. You want to say specifically what kind of weather you're having in case you've got problems.
Right.
What else? What else, Chuck?
Oh, let me see. Well, basically, how many people are aboard? That might be a nice thing to mention.
Sure. What kind of help you want?
Yeah, and that's sort of the big one is, you know, my plane is going down over this part of the ocean, and please send a boat.
Yeah.
Like, they'll probably know what to do.
Yeah. I would have been like, please send another plane, but yeah, that wouldn't make any sense. You'd want a boat.
You would want a boat.
Please send a giant trampoline.
So I say we take our break now and then leave it as a cliffhanger as to where the word Mayday came from to begin with.
Nice one.
All right, we'll be right back.
All right, game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. Because in Monopoly Go, you can team up with your friends for timed tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. It's very nice.
That's right. And the more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock. And there's so much to get. I'm talking about unique stickers that you can trade with friends to complete albums for big prizes, cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with, or hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults.
Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges, like digging for treasure or a robot pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
That's right. There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it now for free on Google Play or the App Store. Game on.
Hey, everybody, it's time you heard about Squarespace. Squarespace has the tools you need to create and sell your own website. Whether it's an online course or custom merch, Squarespace has you covered.
That's right. Courses is a great program. You can start with a professional layout that fits your brand, upload video lessons to teach techniques and skills, and tailor your course with a powerful Fluid Engine editor.
That's right. With Fluid Engine, which is a next-generation website design system, by the way, it's never been easier for anyone to unlock unbreakable creativity.
That's right. And don't forget the commerce side, because after that, you can charge a one-time fee or you can even sell a subscription.
Yeah. So turn your creativity into income with Squarespace courses. And right now, go to squarespace.com/stuff for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, use offer code STUFF to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. Squarespace. Okay, Chuck, we're talking about the origin of the Mayday distress call. Where did it come from?
Well, it started in 1923. Mm-hmm. It was an idea of this guy named Frederick Mockford. He was a radio officer at Croydon Airport in London. Mm-hmm. And they were looking for a word. They said, hey, we need a word that somebody can say that everyone knows as a distress signal. And it's got to be really easily understood. Everyone has got to be able to get on board with this thing. And we don't want to go to a marketing department, so we'll just go right to the to the people who do this. And he said, and, you know, they've been using SOS, like Morse code, but since they were using radio communications more and more, they said, we need an actual word. And help isn't good because people say the word help just in conversation.
Yeah, let me help you.
Yeah, so you don't want to, like, send off false alarms. It's got to be something really independent from other words like that. And I think a lot of the air traffic at the time was between that airport and an airport in Paris. So he proposed a French word.
Yeah, a French phrase, actually, Venez Medir. And he said, let's use the shortened one of Medir. Medir
means help.
Venez Medir means come help me. Apparently, it's also frequently translated as lend a hand, come, like lend me a hand. But the literal translation is come help me.
It's send
French.
A boat.
Send a giant trampoline. And so he said, how about Medir? And they said, oh, it's even better. How about this? Mayday. Let's use a word that doesn't even exist, although it does exist, but one that no one would ever use in normal conversation, and certainly not three times in a row. Like, you wouldn't say, like, that Mayday, Mayday, Mayday party was the greatest Mayday, Mayday, Mayday party I've ever been to.
Yeah, like the Mayday celebration.
Right.
Right.
Like in, what was the follow-up to?
Midsummer?
Yes, thank you, buddy.
That's right. People liked it. People started using it. They said, this is great. And 3 years later, 4 years later, it was officially adopted by the International Radio Telegraph Convention of Washington. And then I think it was mainly for planes. And what I think I figured out is it was 1948 is when it became a nautical term as well.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Because, yeah, it says that it was official in 48, but this Radio Telegraph Convention adopted it in 1927.
Yeah, I think boats got on board a little bit later.
That's weird because there were way more boats than planes in 1927.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe they didn't get on board with the radio communications as quickly.
That seems foolish, but okay. All right.
Maybe they were still in the Morse code.
So there's another way to send a distress call, and you mentioned it earlier, the Mayday Relay, which is fun to say. Hey. The Mayday Relay is if you know that another vessel's in trouble but their communications equipment is knocked out, you can relay a Mayday request on their behalf, and it follows pretty much the similar format. It's just you're calling on behalf of that other vessel, right?
Yeah, and I guess there could be a Mayday relay too.
Sure.
I guess it can go on and on. If you're not able to get a message to people, you can relay it through other planes and boats.
But the problem is, though, is by the time it finally gets to like air traffic control, it comes out as Purple Monkey Dinosaur.
Right. Oh, the old telephone game.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
So let's say you make a Mayday call and you're just joking.
Not funny.
They wouldn't. Nobody would consider that a big whoop, right?
It's a big whoop in the U.S. You can get fined. You can go to jail for 6 months. I'm sorry, 6 years.
To jail.
You can. I have a feeling it's more like you pay a fine and suspended sentence, but it's a hefty fine.
Yeah.
Can be up to $250,000. And it's one of those deals where if they call out the Coast Guard, you got to pay them back the money that it costs to run that operation.
I saw somebody in Florida in 2009 was caught giving a hoax Mayday call and ended up having to pay the Coast Guard back $906,000 for the search that was mounted.
Wow.
Yeah. And well, you should too. If you knowingly, purposefully call out the Coast Guard for kicks and they spend $906,000, the Coast Guard should be made whole of that $906,000 out of your pocket, jerk.
And he was like, why was it that much? And he said, well, we built a really nice new boat for your call.
Right. We used the gold-plated boats for that call.
Right. We ordered some really expensive dinner that night.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You don't want to pay the Coast Guard back.
We got takeout from Outback that night. Thanks. Thanks for that too, Chuck, by the way.
I mentioned Pan Pan earlier as kind of a joke. Apparently, and I've never heard this before in my life, but apparently Pan Pan, and this is another thing that we nicked from the French. It's from P-A-N-N-E, meaning breakdown or mm-hmm. trouble. Apparently Pan Pan is to be used if it's not life-threatening, but you still need help, and you also say it three times.
Yes, that's a really important thing. You want to say these things three times, or that's what gets everybody's attention, right?
That's right.
So that means the Tom Petty song in French is Pan Pan.
Go ahead and give it to me.
I love
good
that
stuff.
Okay, so Pan Pan is where you're basically saying like I've got a pretty like a noteworthy emergency here, but it's probably not life threatening. Somebody on board our boat has fallen and broken their kneecap. They're probably not going to die, but they really want to get off this boat. Can you come help us as soon as possible kind of thing? Or we actually have a breakdown, like our boat is broken down. We're not in any kind of threat because the weather's fine or whatever, but we do need some help. That's when you would use Pan Pan.
That's right.
There's another one, too, that I could barely find. I found it referenced in one article on Wikipedia, Chuck.
Oh, really?
And that was it. But it's security. And I don't know if you say it securite or something like that, but it's spelled S-C-C-U-R-I-T-E.
Yeah,
and
I think
it's from the French as well.
This may have been from the Government of Canada website, which would mm-hmm. make sense.
But this one makes a lot of sense. You'd say security, 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 if that's how you say it. And then you just immediately proceed and talk about something that's like, there's a giant rock that wasn't there before in the shipping lane. Be careful of that. Or there's a shipping container that fell overboard. Mm-hmm. Like you're letting somebody know about a hazard, bad weather, something like that. You're not asking for help. You're just making sure that everybody who needs to know knows about that.
That's right. And then this is neither here nor there in terms of distress, but something you will, this is a movie trope that always bugs me. So I threw it in there. If you ever see someone in a movie say over and out, it's a screenwriter who doesn't know anything about radio communication. No one who knows what they're doing says over and out, because over means I'm done talking and I'm ready for you to respond. Mm-hmm. And out means that you're done and you're leaving. So you would never say over and out. You might say over or out.
Right. You decide. Right. I'll wait here.
But never over and out.
Man, that's, I love that though. I wonder who is the first screenwriter to do that.
I don't know.
I hope somebody's documented it. I want to find out. Did you ever see The Secret Life of Sherlock Holmes?
No.
I did not like it, Chuck.
Okay.
I didn't like it, and I thought I would. Okay, well, that's it. Chuck's done talking. I'm done talking now, too, and that means Short Stuff is out.
Stuff You Should Know is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.